Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Big thanks to our sponsor for this episode, gents.
Huge thanks.
What are you getting for Christmas, Chris?
I'd love some beers, to be honest.
Some beers?
Can you make that happen?
Take them off your list. Just get in touch with Beer 52 and you'll get some free ones anyway.
Perfect.
Free up a slot.
Now we're talking.
Santa will be happy about this.
Christmas is coming early.
One less big box to carry. I've got a Beer 52 box here. We've got some snacks.
Lovely.
Some roasted fava beans.
Oof. Fava beans? With a nice for Chianti?
They would. Well, I'll tell you what they'd be nice with. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Session IPA, 4.5%.
Lovely.
Well, the World Cup's, well, it's days away.
Is it on our doorstep, would
it's
you say?
It's on the doorstep.
Like
and,
the beers.
And Christmas as well.
Like the beers, Chris.
Yeah.
When you order them.
See, you're just too advanced
fuck
for him,
me,
a minute.
Eh? And all you're going to do is go to www.beer52.com/kosh and you can get these lovely box of beers. 10 beers, to be precise, and some snacks and a magazine. On your doorstep, like you said, Chris.
See, if any of you out there was a little bit tight, I reckon this could be three people's present. Two people, three.
Ten people. Just wrap a cab.
That's too tight.
Too much.
That's too much. But you could give three to one person, three to another, and four to another, and you've got three stocking fillers for people boxed off.
But yeah, all you got to do is pay the £5.95 postage, and you'll get 10 lovely craft beers on your doorstep. We've been members for months now, and I love it. Every month, drop on the doorstep. Nice different variety from all over the world.
What about this for a word?
They're Moorish.
Sumptuous stouts. How can you turn them down?
Oh, sumptuous.
They are Moorish.
No one's turning
juicy
them down.
Juicy pale ales as well.
Do you want to open a flight? Do you want one of these with that?
Shall we have the Christmas party in here, just with a box of peas?
Yeah.
see who walks up straightest.
Don't invite him.
Do you know what the good thing is? If you don't like the darker ones, you can knock them off the list and just get the lighter.
Yeah, because they're not for everybody, are they?
I'm a lighter man, to be honest. I always get lighter ones.
So what we're going to do is go to www.beer52.com/kosh. Just pay the £5.95 and you get them 10 free beers on your doorstep.
Merry bloody Christmas.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to the three people you choose to give them to.
Gentlemen.
You alright, Chris?
Yes,
Chris.
John.
You alright?
Chris.
John.
Oh, you alright? What a day.
Squeaky chair again.
What a day. Last of the series.
Yeah. It's been a long series.
Yeah, but it's a bloody good finish, if you ask me.
Oh, no, no. Why?
England international. Current England international.
Bear
back
in mind,
his bags now. He's up to the bloody World Cup.
There's a lot of people say that we always get people on that nobody's ever heard of.
Well, you can't say that now, can you?
This put that in your pies.
What do they call it?
we'll have Frank on next week.
We're back to normal next week, don't worry.
Played three games for Crawley.
Scoop? Is it a scoop?
Call it a scoop?
What is it called when you got it?
Coop.
Coop? Yeah, coop. Aye.
Coop? I prefer scoop. But go on.
It's a coopy scoop.
What's a coopy?
Yeah, so we're at Kieran Trippier's house. What a guy, by the way.
Yeah,
invited
nice
us to his house.
Yeah.
And watches the videos, doesn't he?
Yeah,
watches. So
can we see he's a fan of
the
podcast?
Super fan.
Yeah, fucking hell, fire. <that's,
laughs> super fan.
That is blowing your own trumpet a bit, that, isn't it? Jesus Christ. But on that, I've got a grovelling apology to make to Dele Alli. Because during the World Cup and the Euros, I were a little bit negative on Dele's performances, which, in my opinion, maybe not always right. So, Dele, if I offended you, I really do apologise, but if we're being really honest about it, Dele, it's right what I was saying, isn't it? Because he's struggling now, isn't he? Bless him. He's not even in Besiktas team, is he?
You're a shit house. So you're only apologising because you think you might have watched it.
Well, yeah, but then, but I'm back to, I'm big enough to say, all right.
It was for the it was for the views.
Yeah, for the views. So if we've insulted anybody else over the World Cup or Euros.
Just do better.
Yeah.
Come on. We're just trying to improve people, aren't we?
Exactly.
Tough love.
Exactly.
Tough love.
So, so sorry, Deli. And I hope everything works out and you kickstart your career. And if things don't work out, you're more than welcome to come on.
Rip the arse out of this.
But we're at Kieran Trippier's house today.
Yeah, it was.
Future World Cup winner.
Well, he was late finishing training, wasn't he? And we were. So like proper creepers parked outside his gate waiting for him.
Yeah, so pulled up, I was driving, so I had to press the button, you know, on the telecom. Pressed, waited 6 or 7 minutes, realised no one were answering.
We needed a team piss as well, so we had to...
So we reversed, went half a mile down the road.
Oh, I could just imagine him looking on his CCTV. Bloody diesel outside.
Like that over his gate.
And what they're doing now, reverse, and then just three bodies having a piss into bushes.
Arses.
Just fight like little boys.
We're far enough away for it not to cause
him.
Yeah,
we didn't
problem.
Mess his petunias up.
No, but...
Good lad, isn't he?
Yeah.
Very nice lad.
Great lad. I think he's caught between the old school and the new school, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's done a bit
just
of both.
Just bridging in between.
Yeah. Had a little toe in one. And he obviously got a massive foot in other now.
I didn't get it out of him, but I think he preferred the Barnsley.
Yeah,
kinda.
The Barnsley.
Back in the
days.
Day.
Yeah.
Student night in Barnsley.
We'll get him on again when he retires and we'll get...
Yeah, get the good stuff out. Yeah. His career, man, is just... You know, when you just sit back and look at it on paper, like winning La Liga, obviously now everything he's doing at Newcastle and then World Cup.
And I think he'll play, by the way.
I'd be very disappointed if he didn't, the way he is playing.
Yeah.
Even just asking him about Simeone and that and Pochettino.
See, I obviously can't ruin it, but I never had Simeone down as a character that we find out that he is.
Yeah. I wanted to ask more about his hair, but we didn't get a chance.
Simeone's?
Yeah. It's an unbelievable, because it's a weave on, isn't it?
Do you think?
Oh, no, it is, yeah.
Are you not thinking of Conte?
No. No,
is it?
Simeone's is, but then he's for it to be a stick on and go with such a flamboyant style.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's what they're doing, it the South Americans style flamboyance.
Yeah, so he looks a bit like Will Smith, and you know he's got the old stand up going on, anyway. Like?
I still think you've got the wrong guy.
Well, to be fair,
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
If he has got the wrong guy,
he does.
Conte's not the one that he's meeting, is he? If he's thinking he looks like Will Smith,
fuck's he on about it? Yeah,
he's got the tower going on. Sometimes
I'm gonna have to get Google up, man.
Oh, I'm telling you,
it was like Varney, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Varney last week.
Varney.
Yes. Full of beans.
Old school as well.
Even just when he was sat there, he was just so excited, wasn't he?
Like,
he couldn't sit still. Yeah. And
I can imagine his missus must love it when he goes out. You know, like,
get out of house.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she must just, like, sit back into the settee when he's gone and gone, oh, thank fuck, I've got an hour.
Send kids to school and him to shops.
Yeah.
is this the last of the current season?
It'll be the last of the series,
A bit of a sombre tone now then, isn't they?
Oh, a bit of time off would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you, we're straight into World Cup.
Oh,
we've got some World Cup podcasts, we've got some World Cup videos.
We put a shift in last, don't we? Fuck me.
I think we are not far off it, the hardest working podcast in England.
Yeah.
If not, you're...
Shadow.
They are. They're the hardest working podcast in England.
Have you enjoyed it, Matty?
Lovely.
Good series? Has it been your favourite?
Varney.
Luke Varney?
Really? Yeah.
Energy. Big call.
Yeah, they're not the ones usually for you, dirty bastards.
But we've had a bit of everything, haven't we? Yeah. I think of Craig Bromfield.
Where do we start?
We started with Kevin Lynch, I believe.
Yeah.
The best moment was, because Chris is partial to spell it like random spelling mistakes or even worse, getting people's name wrong. So we recorded the full Craig Bromfield podcast. Remember, Johnny thought that you got his name wrong. He came marching out white as a ghost, going, his name's not Craig.
Why did you think that
on top of my seat it must have said Kevin.
It said Kevin Bromfield.
It said Kevin Bromfield. I'm like, fuck me, we've just been calling Craig for 2 hours and his name's not Craig.
His name's not Kevin.
The thing is, I knew it was Craig, and all the way through I knew it was Craig, but then the last thing I did was put his name on the top of the sheet, and I must have been talking to a Kevin or something. Something's got into my head and I put Kevin just at the top of the sheet.
I just thought to myself, he's going to go home thinking, I've just spoke to them for 2.5 hours and they don't even know my name.
Yeah, but he tried getting man of the people though, didn't he? Because we were like, see you Craig, see you Craig. He went, see you Kevin.
Oh no.
Oh, that's just come back to us then.
Especially when you went in firm, see you later Craig. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not Craig. It's not Craig. That's probably one of the most awkward moments of my entire life for you. His name's Kevin.
thanks for listening throughout the series. Yeah. We'll be back in January, will we?
With the 15th series.
Is that what it is?
Right.
Back in January. Yeah. Obviously, if you get bored, the Patreon's available.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any suggestions as well for next season?
Yes.
We're always looking for
guests. Patreon's going to be carrying on throughout the off season.
As always, that's the bonus. Beauty of it.
One episode every other week. Yeah. So if you fancy getting involved, just £2 a month.
By the way, as well, going back to basics, you know, on iTunes and stuff, we used to be right up there, didn't we? From getting reviews. We've dropped out the top 10.
Fuck.
I'm not having that, lads.
Have we?
Yeah.
Sort
so we need
out,
we need eh? Just a little 5-star review if possible.
Yeah. 5-star review, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, a little review.
There's all kinds of fucking.
Yeah.
And we need them subscribers on YouTube as well.
Yeah. What was your stat?
50% of our viewers are not subscribers.
So to YouTube.
I'm talking to you. 50%
of that though. You know, if you want to watch something, you don't
subscribe.
You just watch it, don't you? But
if you subscribe and you press that little bell, then every time we put a video out, which is going to be important during the World Cup because we've hopefully got a lot of stuff coming out, then you'll get a notification to tell you.
That might be the issue.
What?
Why people don't subscribe. They think, I've had enough of them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so this break could come
like an
bonus
auntie
for
that you kind of like.
Sick of the first sight of us.
You know, like an auntie that you like visiting, but not every week.
Yeah.
She's always got a good box of biscuits going on and she's always with a giggle, but every week she gets a bit
annoying.
That's I can see that. Should we get him in then
till January, troops?
Well,
signing off,
so you're at the back of
the hats.
Team bonding stuff off air, and that came to us with Keith
the sheep.
Yeah,
were you there?
I was there. Yeah, it was obviously Eddie, I was manager, and so we said we were going on a team activity and he ended up taking a sheep herding.
So you must have thought that this is a piss take.
We didn't know where it was going at first, so then obviously it was all on the coach together, and then we just turned up at this farm, so we were thinking, oh, what's going on here? And then next minute this guy popped out of nowhere with loads of sheep and just said, right, let them loose. And he said, right, try and put them back in the pens. It's impossible.
Not as easy as what them sheep don't make it look, is it?
No, it isn't. They're quick as well.
Did you get any?
No, it was impossible, mate. Honestly, the field, as you can imagine, was huge and there were just sheep just running around. And there was this dog. I think that dog got more than we did. It was impossible, mate.
I think Keith said, did he get you all in a huddle and was like, we're a team, nobody break. And one came towards Harwood, he's fucked off.
No, to be fair, well, there was different groups. And I don't know who Keith was. He was probably with the manager at the time. But obviously you had to try and circle the sheep to try and get it back in. But it was impossible. Like, it was impossible.
How long through the activity do you think Eddie Howe thought, what am I doing? I've had an idea.
Just really
I'm going to take him sheep herding. They've seen it's a disaster. I fucked up here.
To be honest, though, I mentioned it to the gaffer not too long ago and he just laughs about it. But I think probably the first couple of minutes.
But he's got not bringing him back then.
No, because obviously when you're running trying to chase him, obviously you're on a field, so your ankles can go and everything.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was impossible. It was impossible. To be fair, we had a laugh because we had to try and make some out of it. But no, I understand why the gaffer was trying to do it. Team bonding as a team, but sheep herding.
What's the worst you've had? Team bonding?
Kayaking. Like, you know,
is that when you went under?
Yeah, I nearly died, yeah.
it was Austria, wasn't it?
No, you weren't there.
Within Orbitron?
It were not, yeah. But I nearly died.
Yeah. Another time.
I nearly died twice in Austria then. No, I was Fleetwood at the time. But yeah, you start at the top of the thing and go down.
Yeah.
Shit, wasn't it?
Like it was worst. Bad.
Nah. Gary Boyer got us hot coals. Brought some hot coals onto the thingy. Says, right, lads, all about mentality and being tough and all that. And like in the championship.
But we did that in the Champions League final as well. Pochettino.
You've trumped us.
No, I didn't hear like that. You were fucking away. You were away at Reading.
No, it was before so it was like 2-3 weeks before the final, and we was all at the training ground and they had coal and we had to walk over it.
Socks and shoes off?
Socks were off, yeah. I don't really get that thought process and why I was doing it. Weird enough, it didn't really, but it was just crazy why we did it in the first place. I still to this day don't know why we did it. It was mad.
What about initiations? Have you ever done any?
Yeah.
Sign for a new club and that?
So obviously Barnsley when I was there, obviously the clubs that I've been at, I've done it. When I was at England, you don't have to do it. So I was buzzing with that, to be fair. You didn't have to sing. But obviously we had the spins and everything at Burnley where fines leave you, slips out or socks. You spin the wheel and every letter's a forfeit. So that was good banter, to be fair, that.
What was the worst on there?
Lap dance. Yeah, so I had to... So obviously mine landed on lap dance and you have to spin again for the squad number. So obviously I got Keith Tracy, didn't I? So yeah, that was a tough 25 seconds.
I can imagine Keith's
what
face.
Your technique? Like,
imagine Keith's face. No.
He'd have loved it, wouldn't he?
No, man. Keith would have loved it, to be fair. He would have loved it.
Is the team bonding and that different, you know, that the higher you've got now? Because obviously back in the day, you might still have been a bit young, but we were like, Tuesday, we're all out.
To be fair, like when I was at Barnes at my first club, it was probably like a stag do for a year, to be honest. I was in a hotel with... I hope they don't mind me mentioning of them. Obviously Melis and Frank Noble, and yeah, to be fair, that was, looking back now, it was stupid, obviously going out all the time. But when I was in Spain, it was brilliant there. That's probably one of the best places I've been, because it's proper family orientated there, in the sense of like every day, like finishing training at like 11:30, and he's having barbecues every day and that, so it was brilliant.
Oh, missed out there. Should have got a move to Spain. Fucking hell.
But have you seen the difference? Because, I mean, John always says, it's not like it used to be. You're like kind of just on the brink of
both.
The back end of your YouTube career and now playing at the level that you're playing at. Have you, you've kind of witnessed the transition?
Yeah, like I said, like when I was at Barnsley, especially, you know, it was a big drinking culture then. But obviously looking at it now, you can't get away with it now. Like, as you've seen, the games are coming thick and fast now. You can't be going out drinking alcohol all the time, because football's changed in the sense of like the intensity. You have to keep yourself fit and good shape. And I think you've probably seen the progression over the past 10 years or so.
Is that an education thing from the clubs as well? Like educating you and the rest of the players about what effect it does have on you?
No, definitely. Because when I, comparing it from back then till now, especially as a young lad, we didn't really get educated on probably looking after your bodies. At City I did when I was there, but when I went on loan, it was, proper drinking culture and stuff, and we didn't get educated, I don't think, enough. But now it's, I see some of the young lads at Newcastle or Tottenham when I was there, they have nutritionists, they have everything in place. So they're in the best possible shape to perform.
Were you playing well though? You know, when you went to Barnsley first, were you thinking?
I was doing all right, to be fair. I thought I was doing well. But looking back at some pictures, like I swallowed a few pillars. but no, I felt like I'd done all right at Barnsley, but looking back, it was just stupid.
See, anybody who ever been out in Barnsley, I've been advocating it on this podcast for a long time. Can you please clarify? It's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
It was good on a Wednesday night, to be fair.
It was good on a Wednesday night.
It was good on a Wednesday night, to be fair, obviously. Liam Dickinson was there at the time, and I've been out a few nights out with him as well. So, no, it was good on a Wednesday.
Did you want to stay at Barnsley? Or was there the opportunity to stay at Barnsley?
Back then, when Mark Robbins was manager and Malone ended, I was going to go back. I was going to sign permanently there. But then, obviously, Keith Hill came in and, yeah, obviously, mustn't have fancied me at the time. Brought his own players in. No problem. And lucky that opened the door for me to go Burnley.
Scotty Wiseman. Really played with him at Hull.
Yeah, I did.
I wonder if that's his. I wonder if he thinks they signed me instead of Trippier.
Well, sometimes, you know, managers have the players, you know what I mean? And yeah, and he just didn't fancy me at the time. No problem with that at all. Then I went back to City and yeah, and then lucky enough, I got you know, on loan to Burnley for 6 months at the time. And then I signed there permanently in that January.
Were you at the point, you know, when you said you went back to City? Were you just thinking, because you've had the taste of Barnsley, were you think, I need to be playing now?
Yeah, 100%, because it was around about that transition period where City was bringing in all the top players, and obviously I had Zabaleta in front of me. There was, obviously, Micah was there, so I knew it was going to be difficult.
And you also, bet yourself, though, weren't you?
No, I always believed in myself, but, you know, when you met Zabaleta in his prime, it was unbelievable. But then when I had the taste of, you know, playing Championship week in, week out, I thought to myself, you know, I want to get out again. And then when Burley came, it was only around the corner, so it was perfect for me.
Did you have much to do with Mancini? Was he there?
Mancini was there, yeah.
I think he slaughtered him, didn't he? Neared him.
Did he?
Yeah. Hammered him.
To be fair, I was training with the first. I went on a couple of pre-season tours with him. And to be fair to him, they gave me a new contract. And then, yeah, before I went to Burnley. But yeah, I didn't really see much of him when I was there. I didn't speak to him as like a first team player award because I was only so young at the time.
I wonder what Keith Hill thinks.
The one that got away.
Yeah. You know, if he thinks about it now, he thinks, oh, fucking hell.
But it's fair, Stonesy came in then.
And he's done all right, hasn't he?
Yeah, Stonesy came in, didn't he? You're flying it right back. It's about looking at the end of the day.
You mentioned that pre-season. Is that the one when Balotelli back-heeled? Or not?
No, that was...
The spinner.
I think I left before then.
Did you have much crack with him?
He's obviously sitting walking around the place. Obviously, the stories that came out, you just know he's... He was a cannon at the time, but no, I didn't really have much to do with him. It was more like Craig Bellamy, you know, when I was younger, he used to look after me. So
good with you?
No, he was good with me, to be fair. I've seen him, I think it was when Mancini came in, when he was, I think he was leaving, and yeah, he was ruthless with the young players, but I think it was more of a test with him every day, you know, testing players.
Do you think it was coming from a good place when he was, you say he was ruthless? Do you think he cared?
Yeah, 100%, because I think every day when I was young, I thought he was always testing players. You know, the way he spoke to them and how they reacted and if players would cave or not. And to be fair, I was lucky, to be fair, because I always got on with him. He always looked after me, to be fair.
I think that was the thing with him, because when he left City, he came to Cardiff.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to win that much that it weren't bothered to be upset.
No, I think he's seen that throughout his career, you know, with big players as well. Mm. You know, he's not afraid to... You know, to lay into someone, but like you said, he's a winner. He wants to win. And I enjoyed my time with him, like training with him and stuff, because, you know, the way he trained every day was unbelievable.
Lads can go either way though, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, no, they can't. Have that mental strength to be able to get through it.
And I've seen some players where he was battering some young players and stuff, and I was thinking, thank God that's not me, like, you know. But again, it was just a test, I think. Looking back now, as an older player, it was definitely a test to see how the young players would react.
I definitely think you can take it as a compliment if they are having a go at you. Because if you didn't have a chance and you weren't the best, they'd probably just leave you alone, wouldn't they?
Let you crack on.
Just,
and
yeah, get
on
with you've got no hope, kind of thing. Sounds harsh, but...
No, I think so.
Who was it signing you for Burnley?
He's Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe, because he came to watch me in a reserve team game, him and Jason Tindall at Altrincham. And then probably like a couple of days after that, I made my first pre-season friendly against Rochdale away. And then, I was buzzing. It was around the corner from me. I knew a few players that was there as well.
You signed on loan initially?
On loan. I signed on loan and then I signed that January after I got sent off against Leeds away.
Wait, yeah, I signed. Contract on the table, yeah, were you fine?
You get signed sent off more often.
Were you not bothered about sort of, obviously, because it's a bit of a shithole, Burnley, isn't it?
Not really.
No, I don't mean... I mean, no, the facilities.
You said it now, John.
Yeah, fuck it. Sorry, I've probably just lost some viewers. But, you know, like the ground and everything, yeah. It's old. And
going from City.
Going from this, what it could be at City, you not think, well, it's a shithole. It's a shithole.
You've been Barnsley before. I'm in Burnley.
But obviously, I was training at Oakwell every day there.
See, class, wasn't it?
Brilliant. After I loved it. No, but I know what you mean. No, it was not for me. It was just about getting out and playing. Like it went. I didn't bother about the facilities or anything like that. Just about playing every week in the champ, and there's no shame in dropping down. You know, from okay, I didn't play for Man City, but coming from that team, those facilities to a Burnley, it didn't bother me because you know, I was around the corner. I got a few friends from Burnley anyway, so everything just fell into place.
Could you say that Howe was going to a good manager? Because yeah, it didn't really work out from a Burnley, but could you say that he'll come back?
For me, I loved it because, you know, the games was like 4-3 every game or 3-2, but he liked to attack. And like I was like an attacking fullback, so I loved it. But you could see he was a good manager, but I think he was only there for about a year and a half, and then he went back down to Bournemouth. Then obviously that's when Dyche came in.
How was he?
He was brilliant. No, I loved him, to be fair. He was ruthless as well. There was one time when he gave us a few days off. So I said to one of my pals, like, what do you want to do? He says, oh, we'll go away. So we went Benidorm.
What a place. And, second to Barnsley, that. Yeah.
So we went to Benidorm and I didn't print the boarding cards off, so I printed them off at the training ground. So obviously someone must have told Dyche, but he stored it, didn't say out. I had a good time in Benidorm. Come back, we played Watford. I had a nightmare, didn't I? Fucking give a goal away, give a pen away. Straight after the game, he come charging in the dressing room. And you know when you just know he's looking for someone. Clocked eyes with me and then just went in on me.
How did he find out?
From the tickets at the training?
I think it must be the tickets or something. Or someone must have grassed me up, I think. Someone must have grassed me up. But yeah, it was funny because I was looking at all the lads like Keith and everyone there just like laughing. And I was thinking, so please don't laugh because he's gonna want to film me in.
Make it even worse. Yeah.
Did he have a switch in him?
Dyche, yeah, he did. He could batter a few players, but in a good way because he knew they could do better or could perform better. So, yeah, he was a good manager. I really liked him.
Can you remember a particular time when you thought at Burnley that you could go again? I know you got promoted. Mm. When were you thinking, I could get a better move here or a good, you know?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was after the season we got promoted. There was a few clubs interested. There was obviously Tottenham. Everton and Liverpool before they got Klein as well, because I think it was even me or him going to go to Liverpool. But yeah, the year we got promoted, I only had a year left on my contract, and Dyche wanted me to sign a release clause, a contract and have a release clause. So I thought it made sense for me to play 38 games in the Premier League, get that experience before, if I did get that move.
Do you think you improved under Dyche, or do you just think was the games that you were playing naturally made you better,
older and maturing?
Yeah, I think even at Burnley, I was still going out and that. So, but no, I think he definitely improved me. I think he improved the team because we was conceding a lot of goals before he came. And then he tightened us up and, you know, we had a good squad there.
Good team spirit.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And he set that. Even little things like the spins that I was talking about before, and you have players who might feel a bit uncomfortable, but once they've done a forfeit, they'll feel more confident in themselves.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped the group. And yeah, I think he was just a brilliant manager for Burnley, and you know, records speak for themselves. To be fair, he had no budget there as well. The players that we signed was either free transfers or a couple of £100,000, and the year we got promoted, I think we spent about £500,000, and I think all that was on Ashley Barnes at the time. But I think with that team spirit we had, our team might not have been better than the Leicesters of that year or whoever, but we had that togetherness. You know, and that, for me, that takes you even further.
I say it regularly, I think it's worth 15, 18 points a season.
100%.
When you play on that, you know, look at the budget we've got and the mixed bag of players. You know, some have been released and we're getting through this together despite the budget.
Yeah, because we knew it was up against it in the league. Because the year before that, we nearly got relegated. We had to beat Wolves. I think they went down. I think we relegated them at Wolves. So we've gone from relegation to promotion the season after, and we only signed three players. But like I was saying, that togetherness, it's for me, that's more important because, like I said, we didn't have the best squad, but you know, we cruised that league that year.
Dyche said he's like a son to him, apparently.
Who's that?
You're like a son to Dyche. Has he come out and said that? Or?
Yeah, he's come out a few times and said it. And I get a bit of, you know, a lot of lads batter me about it.
Have you been around for Sunday dinner?
No, I've not had the invite. No, to be fair, we had a good relationship there, but it weren't one of those where, obviously, we've been in dressing rooms where it's a mile off. It was like that, to be fair, with a lot of players at the time, but I think it's more when I left. because we used to call each other and speak to each other all the time. And I think it was more then when I used to get battered, because he used to walk in the team and says, "Oh, I only have one favourite, and that's Kieran Trippier." So
well, he did it up himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so you're shooting me in the foot as well. So yeah.
Do you have a bit of a tour up on training ground?
Me?
Yeah.
It was Ross Wallace. Ross Wallace. The boot of the ball, I can't remember, I think it was Heats who kicked a ball. I think he was pulling my shirt. So I just said to him, like, "What are you doing?" Do you know what I mean? And as I've turned back to him, he's fucking giving me a little nut in my eye. Still got the scar here. And then we had it out on the pitch. But the one thing I didn't like about that is he did it when I weren't looking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we had it out on the pitch. And then it was all right after that, to be fair.
Were it one of them where it's done?
Yeah, because it was one of them where...
Mates again.
Yeah, it was one of them in the heat of the moment. You know, you wanted to have it out on the pitch, but I just went in to obviously get it stitched. And then, to be fair, he come in, you know, apologising and stuff, and it was just one of those where it's not worth it, do you know what I mean? And ever since then, we got on closer ever since then, to be fair.
Heard that a few times. Yeah. The tear-ups brings you together.
Did you still turn the lights off at the training ground, Ross?
Yeah.
Fucking out of nowhere.
You see it all the time. Yeah. And then next minute, things used to be just flying around the dressing room. You know what I mean?
Grown man, and he just walk out of the dressing room. Out. Yeah, turn the light off, and then obviously stuff had... Oh.
He turned the washing machines off. The kit men are setting the kit away for the next day. He just turned them off and go home.
He was good. He had good bandits with him. He was a great guy, to be fair, Ross. But yeah, like those incidents, they happen all the time in football. It's one of them where you just get on with it.
Can't be a good tear up, can you? He's only fucking this big, and all. You must have twatted him.
I'm not biggest now, so I was going to
roll him.
Dash were fine. He was just like,
"You've sorted out between
was, yeah, it's a players in jumping Dash when I was like, let him have it.
You know, just give him another five, lads.
No, it was alright, to be fair. It was just one of those. It happened, and I just went in to get it stitched. And then, to be fair, me and Ross was alright. Like,
were there a few clubs, like, with the rumours, and when Tottenham were coming in for you?
Yeah, there was other rumours. Like I said before, there was, I think round about then it was the best time for me to get out of like Bury area where I was from, in the sense of like, because, you know, I was young, I was like 24, I think I were, and I was going out and stuff like that. And so I just thought I needed to get out. And that was probably the best time and in my career where I made the best decision to get out of Bury.
There's a few people getting away is... Yeah, the best thing to progress.
It hasn't always worked, because the mates have ended up coming down for a piss up every week.
No, it was all right, to be fair. My mates have always travelled with me since I was at Barnsley, and even when they, because obviously I went down with my, it was my missus at the time, she's my wife now, but I think just me and her getting out of our area, and to be fair, then from then on I just cracked on. As soon as I went to Tottenham, I went to Mexico on an all-inclusive, me and my missus, and then I was on a daiquiris a lot, and then when I got back, they obviously had your body fats and all that, and I was way over.
What would you have to be? What were your body fat you had to be?
I think probably with the calipers, probably about 50 mils at Tottenham. If not, though, you was in the chamber with Pochi. It was relentless, the training there. So there's like me, Toby Alderweireld, a couple of us in the altitude chamber doing on the rowing machine cross training after every training session to get our body fat down. And ever since then, that's when I was going to talk about education before, about body fats and eating the right things at the right times. And ever since I went to Tottenham, everything just changed.
Were it a shock to the system when you go in getting that education?
A little bit, but then, because obviously it was more
how
like...
how intense it were.
Yeah, how intense the training were. Like Daishis were tough, but Pochettino's was on a different level. And then obviously Europa League, you know, Champions League, and realising that you can't do it at that level, because it's just impossible.
Obviously Dice were probably more old school than so, you know, like your training and all that, were it like you finish on a Tuesday, do some running, and you've got Wednesday off?
Yeah, so Tuesday will be intense.
So that the old school style?
Yeah, so you'd obviously be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, obviously Thursday, Friday in game, off Sunday, maybe Monday off depending if you had a midweek game. But he had a gaffer's day as well, so he took one session in pre-season. It was called the gaffer's day, where he would take the run, no balls, you're running for 90 minutes. You know, it's on, I don't know if you guys get on the internet, like flipping car tyres and running to the halfway line with them, bringing them back. And then at the end of it, you had to beat his time back to the hotel. You had to run back and beat his time. If you didn't, you're doing it again.
Was it a set day? So you, you'd say, right, tomorrow's Gaffer's Day.
Yeah, so you used to throw it in when you didn't know. So when you thought it was, it weren't that day, and it used to mix it up a bit. But that was a tough day. You were just running like it was.
It makes it worse, the fact that he did it as well.
Yeah.
Because you can't let him beat you, can you?
No,
sometimes you just can't help it.
You only do what you can do.
I'm sure Sean Dyson beat me now when I was 25.
Do you know when Pochettino sold it? Did you know it was going to be you and Kyle Walker competing? Like,
no, I knew I was going to Tottenham not to be first choice. I knew because obviously Walks was flying. But to be fair, the first 14 months were tough because I probably played about 6 games. I played the odd Europa League game. I didn't play at all, and it was a tough, because I was obviously doing all the running after games, and their sessions after games was for an hour, 20 minutes, gym, running. It was tough, and mentally that can get to you, you know, as a player sometimes it's a bit sapping, like, you know. But yeah, I only played about 7 games, I think.
Did you go and see him?
No.
Did you have a conversation with him?
Not really, no, because I just thought, I'd get my head down, let him know I'm working hard, you know. Obviously in football, you need a bit of luck. And then before Walks left, I started playing a lot more. And then when Walks did leave to go to City, that opened the door for me. But it was tough because we never got days off. It was like 7-8 weeks without a day off as well. But as a manager, I can't fault him. It was unbelievable.
How did you deal with that, the days off? What he was just saying about every Wednesday off, was it just a
complete, it was a shock for me personally, because I went from 2 days a week off, maybe 3, to not having a day off like 8 weeks and travelling. And like you said, it was a real understanding of how that level, how you need to be. And it was tough because I weren't playing as well at the time, but obviously I knew Walks was playing and he was a quality player.
Do you feel better for it?
100%, yeah. I think there, because it made me realise to get in good shape. Obviously it helped me doing extra work after training in the altitude chamber, and then just learning off players like, say, Harry Kane, or players who have played at that level for a long time and played in Europe, and playing with players like that, you know, it's only going to benefit you and make you become a better player as well.
See, if I've not got a day off in 8 weeks, I am fucking furious.
No, it was tough. Like, the first year.
I'm like, Poch, I'm going to have to go. Keep me contact, I'm going to have to go. And like, not so much because of the physical work, but it must, what are you laughing at?
It must be
mentally draining, knowing that every morning you've got to get up and go to work.
No, for me, it was tough at first because I didn't have a clue what I was getting myself in for, but I didn't know what I was going to happen. But you get used to it. After the first season, I thought, right, okay, worked hard, that pre-season's come back, and you just get used to it, not having a day off.
It's like fucking slave labour, isn't it?
Yeah. You're competing for a title and you're surrounded by world-class players.
And you just want to get back to Barnsley.
I want Wednesday off, Poch.
you get used to it though. You get used to it when you're travelling and you're playing in Europe and coming back and then playing Premier League. You just get used to it.
Was there a big change in how you had to be off the field as well?
Yeah, definitely.
The representation of the club and the size of the club.
Yeah, because I went from
change
like,
your ways.
Yeah, because I went from like no disrespect, but I went from Burnley to Tottenham, and then like, you know, as I was there longer and people started to. I'm not talking like David Beckham or something, but notice who you are, and say if you're out and then you're drinking and stuff, and it's just not worth it because, you know, you're at a big club, you need to represent that club in the right way. And to be fair, I did, you know, I never used to go out because I was just doing everything I could to, you know, to start for Tottenham at the time.
Do you know what? I half respect Grealish.
What for winner?
Just carried on as you were.
No, Jack's a quality player. Good player.
Great calves and all, isn't he?
Oh, massive. Beautiful. I love it.
But I bet you got some brownie points for your missus then, didn't you? Love, I'm stopping in again. I'm not going out this Saturday.
No,
I'm stopping in.
No, she was happy as well that we both got out of Bury at the time, and just a new start, you know. Just concentrating my football on us, and then we started popping out children.
I'm not surprised if you're in fucking house all the time. There's only so much at soaps you can watch, isn't there?
Did you notice a different in personalities when you got to Tottenham? Because if we've just spoke about the maybe not so many at Barnsley and not many foreigners at Burnley, where you have to learn about different people and different cultures and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because obviously at bigger clubs there's different cultures, there's different, you know, obviously nationality players and stuff, and international players as well. So again, I knew Walks because we played with England at youth level together and Danny Rose. But yeah, that was a challenge, definitely, to how to interact with different players and stuff. But to be fair, I slotted in straight away.
Did you notice the difference in the Christmas do's? Because talking about the high profile players, you can't do what? You can't go to Dublin or just a random nightclub. Has it got to be?
That 2016, we're at the Fancy Dress. I saw the squad photo for that.
Tottenham?
It was impressive.
Yeah, we had a Fancy Dress in London. Yeah, there's some good outfits that night.
Were you at Umpalumpa?
I mean, Tom Carroll, yeah, was Umpalumpa. Yeah. that was the only one I ever had there at Tottenham.
Good turnout.
Only Christmas do I had at Tottenham, yeah. We only had one.
Is that because the managers...
No, just I just don't know if it was knocked out of the FA Cup or Carabao Cup or something, so we managed to get one. But other than that, yeah, that's the only one I had.
What's your best moment, Tottenham?
Tottenham. I think the Ajax game. I think when we got through, Lucas scored the hat trick. I think because we had to score three because they had the away goal as well. So we had to score three in like the last 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and he popped up with the hat trick to put us through into the final. So
more or less last kick of the game.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
The euphoria.
Yeah, so I think that's probably my best moment. That's probably my best moment, yeah.
The best bit about that was that their keeper was going berserk, wasn't he? Thinking they'd getting the crowd going, thinking they'd
yeah,
won it.
Yeah, that's when it was 2-2.
Yeah. Somebody's filming him from behind.
Yeah.
And he's giving it the big, and then Moura's gone and scored.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's just a feeling. You know, it's not many players will have an opportunity to play in the Champions League final, so... You know, going back from my whole career to reach a final of a Champions League, it was an incredible feeling.
I remember, did he get dropped for the final, Moura?
Yeah, Lucas. Yeah, because H was injured. I think for the last, I think it was his ankle. I think he was out for like 2 months, and then Lucas got dropped and Harry come back in.
Oh, it's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a.
You can understand.
No, yeah, but... I understand. Lucas scored a hat trick. It's one of those, like, if he was going to play Lucas and drop somebody else, like, who was going to drop? Because Dele was flying that season. Christian was unbelievable. Sonny. I understand everybody's frustration about it, but for me, you can't have H on the bench.
Nah.
Because you can score in every given moment. But I do feel sorry for Lucas.
Going back to Ali, he was flying under Pochettino, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can remember that he used to... Talk about man management, arm around the shoulder. Was it that type of relationship you had with him?
Poch were brilliant with Dele, to be fair. And to be fair, Dele was flying at Tottenham. But yeah, like, and it's one of those where, obviously I left, I went to Atletico Madrid, and I think he was there for like 2 years after. But even that season, when I was there, my last season, he was flying. But Dele is a great lad, but Poch were brilliant with him. But then I think Poch ended up leaving as well. Did he get sacked in the end?
He always looked since. He just needs a bit of love or someone to
trust him.
Yeah.
Coddled. Quick break, gents, to mention our sponsor, not just for this show, but the World Cup.
We're going, aren't we?
We're going. Cheer up, you midget.
We're going to World Cup. What?
Swifty Predictions. If you don't know what Swifty Predictions is, get yourself involved. It's a betting app, but it's
a dating app of betting apps.
The dating app of betting apps. It's a bit like Tinder, isn't it?
If you wonder, I'll be honest. If you wonder why I'm disappointed, I've just found out I'm sharing a double bed with him for 10 days, man.
But obviously I'll let me have my Slazenger vest.
A bit more room.
Are you allowed to wear Slazenger vests?
I think so.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking perfect. I'm not going to go shopping.
Basically, it's the, like you said, it's the Tinder. It's a Tinder app of the betting app, but also maximum of £20, which is good, isn't it? Because it's definitely a bit of fun around betting, isn't it?
Well, the thing with it is, you know, if you're watching random games...
Which we all do during the World Cup.
Yeah, you'll watch, I don't know, Uzbekistan against Ghana.
What a game.
To be fair, there'll be a lot of action.
That'd be a cracker. Classic.
But you're watching it, the game's not the best, but you're going to watch it anyway.
You can go on your Swifty.
And it comes up, Steve, the Uzbekistan striker, next goal. Yeah?
They give you the odds,
and you swipe right if you want to.
Yeah.
Bet, put in your stake, £2, £1.
And if Steve scores, you win your bet.
Bang.
But it's basically just a bit of fun to watch the game and make it more, a bit more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. No, all the different markets are there, aren't they, for most goals and corners and stuff like that. All that will pop up.
Well,
specials. We call them specials.
If you don't fancy it, you think Steve's crap and he's having a bad game,
swipe left.
Well, as under the cost listeners, all you're going to do is sign up and you'll get a £10 free bet. Put your £10 in, you get a £10 free bet for the tournament.
Or,
how good's that?
Or £5 £2 bets.
Yeah, basically you put £10 in and they'll chuck another 10 in.
Yeah, so you've got £10 worth of free bets.
20? You're doubling your money. Just like that.
But we're going, aren't we? I'll say it again.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, I better tell her.
Oh. So we put the link in the description, download the app, and get yourself involved and get that extra £10 to play with.
Gamble responsibly. Well,
we've got under the cost specials as well throughout the tournament.
Well, we always have, haven't we?
Have we?
On the app. We're not messing about.
Can we pick them?
We get to choose them.
Good.
You cut Chris off then.
Sorry.
Gamble responsibly.
Which is very, very important. Very important.
Sorry,
Chris. It's all right.
So, right then. Best to find the passport. Club Tropicana drinks are free.
I cannot wait to see you in a mankini around the pool.
Oh, geez. Well, are you allowed?
Oh, aye.
Oh, fantastic.
And just remember, wherever you're watching the World Cup from, remember to gamble responsibly. It's very important.
See you at the back post.
See you in the pool, Ian.
Did he have any other madcap? Like, you talked about walking over coals. Were there anything else like that?
No, not really. I just found that one pretty strange before the final, because it was a long build up, that one. I think it was like 3 weeks, so it was tough, because obviously you had Liverpool, I think they had like a week off, and then Liverpool went to a training camp. I think it was something like Marbella or something, and we were just in every day before the final, you know. Okay, we might have had like one day off or something, 2 days, but again, it's that mental state of
keeping yourself motivated.
Yeah, and it was. I think the show was like 2-3 weeks before the final. It was long, very long. Mm.
Did you feel ready to move on?
At Tottenham, yeah, I think that season, because there was even probably like my last 6 months there, I didn't do well at all. I was the first half of the season, I thought I'd done well. Second half, it was just like, everything was going against me personally. I had a double hernia op 6 months after I left Tottenham at Atletico Madrid. And I should have had that Christmas time at Tottenham. But then obviously I was getting picked for the games. I weren't performing well. I'm the first to admit that. And then I think around about that time, I was hearing rumours that they was offering me to clubs and stuff like that. So I think ever since I heard that, yeah, it's a fact that did happen. And then ever since then, I thought, yeah, end of the season, it's time for me to move on.
That affect your performance as well, do you think?
Like I said, even till this day, I owed no excuses. It's just one of those where it doesn't help, let's put it that way. I just thought I was still getting picked every game. And I tried to perform as well as I could, and I'm scoring own goals against Chelsea away at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. I don't know if you said it was a great finish.
I'm going to mention that, was that difficult personally? You know, the backlash you get from fans, and you know, they're probably talking about it on Talksport and all that. Do you absorb that information? Do you read it? Do you listen to
it's
it?
It's hard not to see it, because social media now is huge, and for me personally, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, you know, like, it doesn't bother me. It did at the time, I'm not going to lie to you, when I was at Tottenham. But then if I go back, if it happened to me now again, I'd know how to handle it so much more. And I think going to Spain, go and play for Simeone, and yeah, just experience something new. And yeah, to go and play for Atletico Madrid in the Champions League and work with Simeone and the players that they've got there, it was a no-brainer.
Were you just on the anti-inflammatories? You know, when you said you had the hernia, were you just...
Yeah, I was just on anti-inflammatories, paracetamol. And I knew at Christmas time I needed surgery. So I think there was me, Christian at the time, Ben Davies. But Ben Davies and Christian had surgery, but I didn't.
Did you have the conversation where...
Yeah, that was one of my arguments. Why am I not allowed surgery, you know? There's loads of things, obviously, that people don't know about that was building up and just was just the icing on the cake why I left. Yeah, I owed no grudges against Tottenham. You know, I wouldn't probably be in this position now if I didn't go there in the first place. So I got a lot to thank for. But Then I ended up having surgery on a double hernia when I was at Atletico Madrid, 6 months after I signed for them.
It's all right,
like
then.
A 3-4 week injury, so.
Exactly, yeah.
So I don't
your, it's your head on the chopping block, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's easy for the physio to say, oh, no, you're doing all right. Well, yeah, so, you know, it's nothing serious, but
if you're feeling just a bag of shit on a Saturday. Anti-inflamms, paracetamol, just to get me through the games.
I'm assuming
like 3 months.
That's a conversation you've got to have in your negotiations. Listen, I need this. I'm going to need this.
Yeah, but it was honestly, there was loads of things because there's so many big games coming up. Maybe I should have took the step back. Well, I should have, looking back now, when, you know, because we had Serge Aurier there at the time as well. But it's not my fault if I'm getting picked, but I should have took a step back and said I'm not fit enough to play.
Yeah.
But because it's like quarter of the Champions League final and semi-final of Champions League, it's like, so that's where I was a bit selfish.
It's a personal drive as well. Yeah. You want to play in them games.
So did they pick up on your medical?
Sorry?
Did they not pick up on your medical? Did you have the conversation
No,
before you signed?
But to be fair, it was weird though, because when I went to Madrid, I felt fine. I had a good pre-season and then I had no problems. But then after about 3 months, when I was there, 4 months, it started creeping up, having problems with my groins and stuff. And then it was actually in Saudi Arabia. They have like a little cup every year. Like there was those Barca and Real at the time and Betis. And then it was after them when I thought, no, I need surgery.
Has he got any chill at all, Simeone?
Yeah, he's unbelievable, honestly. He's like one of the lads, do you know what I mean?
Is he?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's for some reason, I thought we were going to be adding to the shit list, you know?
No.
Wesley, Steve Evans, Simeone. But
no, you'd love him. You'd absolutely love him. He's unbelievable.
He's like a mafia boss, doesn't he?
Honestly,
you won't mess with him.
Everything about him, you know, his training, you know, he's just like you were talking about before, in the sense of players that are not playing. He was unbelievable. And you don't realise the pressures of playing for that club was when you're there. The pressure was incredible. There's loads of times when the fans, the ultras, as they say, we were playing Real Madrid, my first Madrid derby, and was having dinner. And then we had to go and stand outside. Obviously, I didn't know what was going on. And all of us were there. There was the manager, the president, everyone. And there's one guy on this tannoy, and you had to stand there and listen to him for about 15 minutes, basically. Like, because me and a few more signings were more directed at us, you know, what it means to play for Atletico Madrid, and you better die for the shirt and stuff like this. And there was a good 10,000 of them. So
yeah, and you've got to listen to this.
Yeah, you got to listen to this
Nigel
guy
from pub.
You got to listen to him for like 10 minutes, and it was just, obviously I didn't know Spanish then, and it was like
just nodding.
Yeah, just nodding. Like, yeah. Sticking my thumbs up at him. So that was
it's good, this lads, isn't it? It's good.
So that was intimidating a little bit, yeah. But yeah, it was good.
He just looks like somebody that would get you motivated, you know, before a game and that.
He's the most passionate manager I've ever played for, 100%. There's nobody that comes close. He was that passionate. And yeah, just the way he like runs La Liga and the club itself, Atletico Madrid, is you know he's the boss, you know? Like, you just can't win with him.
Do you know, like, all the managers you've played under, I'll throw Howe in that as well. How do the management styles differ out of all of them?
I think Eddie Howe this time, his man management's brilliant, in the sense of, like, you know, just seeing him work with players after training, what they need to improve on, or as a unit and stuff like that. He's quality like that. But Simeone was the one where, like, it was mad. Like, you were just win, lose or draw, for example. It was like, just all walking past you with like beers or people. It's weird. It's foreign, like smoking and stuff, you know.
Straight after the game?
Not the players, the staff. It was just mad. It was just different experience.
No, good to win it. Imagine a fan, if he's your manager, like, manager of your team. Absolutely class.
When you're seeing him, like, and I needed to improve my defending. And when I was there, to be honest with you, he worked with me for hours on my own.
Just one-to-one,
me and him, after training. Yeah, he was brilliant. And there's been times, he didn't speak much English, but his wife did. And honestly, there was times where he would randomly call me, like, I don't know, 7 at night or something, and just, what do you think about this training? Or come on Zoom, I need to speak, and stuff like that. It was mad, it was brilliant.
Sandra, speak to Kieran. Get on the phone, yeah.
Because his wife or the assistant manager, he spoke to all right English as well. So, yeah. And I love that, you know, like.
So one to one, are you having? Did you have to have an interpreter?
At first I did, but after that, then
not picking it up.
To be fair, I made the effort. That's why the lads talk to me, and especially the manager, where I was learning the language. After a year, it was just like
fluent now.
Yeah, fuck it. Everyone's trying to speak to me in English. So words are perfect for me. So it's brilliant with me. Everyone's trying to speak to me in English, and then. But on the pitch, the football does the talking, you know, yeah. you sort of know what he wants you to do.
Do you know, like, when you move into clubs at that level, do you have to get a feel? Because, like, we signed, we never fucking anybody wanted us, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Donny's coming, or Preston's coming, oh, I'll sign there then.
No, it was more like the, would my family enjoy it? So I was speaking to players who played in Spain, like Toby Oliveira was at Atletico Madrid as well before he went to Southampton. So I spoke to him about the club. Would my family like it? And to be fair, everybody spoke so positive about the club. So I just thought, I'll just go for it. Just don't look back.
How did you adapt to the different style of player?
Yeah, it was tough at first because obviously Simeone's teams are more, you know, I played in plenty of games for him where we've gone 1-0 up after 15 minutes and we're trying to shut shop. You know what I mean? If you're playing big teams, like if we was playing like Real Madrid, Barca or Champions League, if we went 1-0 up, he'll try and shut up shop straight away. He'll take an attacker off. And just go to a five at the back.
Does he work on it in training? Like,
yeah, there's loads of times where we're 1-0 up and in training, and it would just change formation, or yeah, as you would do if you're 1-0 down or something, or tactical fouls and, you know, killing time. When we played Liverpool, play at Anfield, and at home we tried to frustrate them. They're just so clever like that abroad, the foreign players, about killing time and
winding up
players and stuff. It's just mad. Like, and Simeone, they all thrive off it. It's crazy.
Who do you get on with most in that Madrid dressing room?
I think Costa was up there.
Yeah, good lad.
Yeah, great guy.
He looks like he could crack. Yeah, I reckon he's flicking lights off. He's just going into dressing room.
No, he was brilliant. And Marcos Llorente, that's who I had a great relationship with on the pitch.
Yeah.
That was a season where he was unbelievable. We had a great relationship together, us two.
Is he a different lad when he crosses that white line, Costa?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... There's loads of times when he just got substituted on and then just elbowed someone and got a yellow card just to let him know it was there, you know? He was...
that's class.
I like him.
No, he was brilliant. It was one of those where you definitely want him on your team. He was good around the place for enough of the lads having banter and keeping the spirits up and stuff when things weren't really going too well. He was really good. He was unbelievable.
Did he do that stuff in training? Would he elbow lads in training and stuff? Or?
You know what? People might not realise it, but he worked so hard in training. He was proper professional in that sense, but he would just do daft stuff where, yeah, he would just like get a digger or something, or, you know, one of the tractors that groundsmen fly around on and just fly around the training ground on it, or just like...
He's riding me all straight, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah, I like him.
Oh, he was just brilliant. He was just brilliant to have in the dressing room.
I can't imagine, when you went there, you know, possibly a chance of you winning a cup, but with the dominance of obviously Real Madrid and Barcelona, I doubt you would have thought that La Liga was a realistic...
Not really. I just went there just to the culture, different league, just enjoy my football again. Yeah. But then when we signed Suarez, that's when you knew at the start of the season you're going to do something, because he was hungry because by the way he left Barcelona. So he had like a point to prove, and he was unbelievable that season. I think he scored like 26, 27 goals that season for us.
At what point in that season are you thinking, fuck me, we've a really good chance here?
I mean, I think it was on like 51 points by end of December. So then that's a title winning season. So I think when we knew we was going to win it is when we probably drew Barcelona away 0-0, because we needed to draw that one. And there was moments in games where All Blacks saved a penalty, I think the second to last game of the season, and Real Madrid, they would have gone 2 points ahead of us. And it was just swapping and changing. And there was moments in games where we thought, we're going to win this league this season.
What's the crowds like over there compared to over here?
Yeah, it's different. I think the Atletico Madrid fans are certainly like English fans. If you're ever in Madrid or anything, honestly, you have to go to one of them games. The fans are incredible.
So you think that helped you?
What's that?
Do you think that helped you then? You know, like,
yeah. I think definitely. I think the fans there are so passionate. Like, there's one clip where they get beat by Man City. I think it was this last season in Champions League, and the stadium was still full, just clapping the team off. They've been knocked out of quarter final of Champions League. It just says everything about the fans there. They're unbelievable, even walking around the place, going for dinner, or they're just, if you play for Atletico Madrid, they're in love with you.
Are they like that as well? Because similar over here, if they've got a team that puts a shift in,
yeah,
works the bollocks off, and like you say, they'll stay behind and clap them off the pitch.
It's fair. I think that's what any supporter wants to see.
Yeah.
Even Newcastle fans, you know, when I played Cambridge, my first game was a sellout. Again, no disrespect to Cambridge, but not many Premier League teams would sell out the stadium against Cambridge, you know, ours did. And our fans, they're definitely the best fans I play for. They're incredible.
Did you have it in your mind that you only wanted to leave for a couple of years, leave the country for a couple of years? Did you always want to come back?
Yeah, I always thought I was going to come back, but when I was there, I thought I could finish my career here. But before I left, I could have signed a new deal there. I had a new three-year contract one before I left. So I could have stayed there if I wanted to, but there was reasons why I had to come back, like, you know, sometimes some family reasons, you know. So that's, like I said, talked about before, that's my priority, my family. So that's why I came back. And then I wanted to move back to the north of England. And then Newcastle was there in January, so I thought, why not?
Diego reluctant to let you go?
Yeah. Even the day when I said bye to the lads and stuff, he tried having like another conversation with me in the car park. You know, basically saying,
even when you were going?
Yeah. When he understands my reasons why, but he doesn't want me to go.
Then that was nice, your wife? You know.
Sorry?
It's not like you're leaving your wife as you just tour you around as you go popping bags in car.
No, but it was really nice to hear it from him, you know, like how much he wanted me to stay coming from somebody like him.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And even then I was having like moments, you know, even when I was on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
But no, I made my mind up that I needed to come back to England.
Do you know that when, obviously, you went speaking to Newcastle, did you accept that you get some of the new challenge shouts, should we say, with the money being involved at Newcastle, people saying that you were just going there for the money and not?
No, I have that. And like, again, I go back to, if people think it was about money, then I should have stayed in Madrid because I got a new three-year contract there.
Yeah.
So if it was about money, I would have stayed. Do you know what I mean? I know it wasn't about money. So,
that's all that matters.
I've got other things that was happening at the time, which were more important than money. That's why I came back to England. So, yeah, again, it doesn't bother me that people were saying that. That's just, you know, their opinion. Yeah.
You've lived in big cities, London, Manchester, Madrid, Barnsley. A lot of people in Newcastle and probably the North East, the struggle with the goldfish bowl type thing where football is just their life, like it's everything. How have you dealt with it?
The people around here, it's like I said, it is everything, you know. Newcastle's everything to them, and the most important thing for the fans, I think, because of what they've been through, you know, with say the old owner or the manager, and they've not been performing, and look at it now a year later, the city's just absolutely buzzing. Like,
Daddy,
hello.
Mate,
go on, go downstairs.
Okay.
See you later. Go on.
You with your mates like a mouse.
Go on, go
downstairs. Quick break and play, gents. We've got another sponsor on the scene, sponsoring the show, supporting the show.
What have we got, Chrissy?
Nita Training Group.
Northeast based.
They are northeast based. They're the number one training group in the Teesside area, but not just Teesside.
The nationwide.
Is this
when you're working at building sites and stuff like that, you need your ticket.
You need your ticket, your certification to get on the job.
Oh, so they do
if
all
you're
that.
Not competent, you know, you're risking lives. And these.
Well, to be fair, it's like me turning up and saying I can put that scaffolding up.
No, John, you were turned away at the gates
because I've got no ticket.
No ticket. No,
exactly. So really. It's health and safety as well, isn't it?
After COVID especially, a lot of people looking for a new vocation.
Yeah.
Which, and this is perfect. This is a perfect escape.
Well, they're helping fill the skill gap especially on the massive development T-Works. And not just if you're looking for a new vocation, but if you're already in a trade, but you need to update your
sharpen your tools.
Sharpen your tools, indeed.
Like it, good terminology.
Yeah, 6,000 adults the training every year. And not only that as well, they provide funding. Do you want me to give you a bit of information?
Give us a couple of facts.
Some of the courses that they do. Here we go. Gas. You need your gas tickets. Domestic and commercial assessments. Electrical, 18th edition. Comp X. I don't know. I'm not sure what all this means. Like EV car charge, inspection and testing. But if you're in the trades, then you know what it's about.
It might be a little bit foreign to us, but...
Yeah. Welding, cording and 6G. Scaffolding, they give you all the scissor tickets.
I've got a question for you on the next one.
Yeah?
What's rigging?
Rigging? Lifting and rigging?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was going to get Chris to do it if you want to go on that diet, get you on stage for the next large for you.
Oh, so basically it's hoisting, Shizzle.
Right.
Lifting and hoisting.
Right.
Health and safety, they do that one. No one likes them lads, do the health and safety, but someone's going to do it.
Exactly.
Wide range of ages. We've got 200 school leavers and 150 apprentices. Studying engineering
and competitive rates and flexible course dates.
Well, I'll tell you what, them competitive rates get even more competitive.
Don't tell me we've got an offer.
Have we got an offer? We got an offer? Yes, we have. We've got a COSH code, because if you use the code COSH1, there's a wide range of discounts available across all the courses, all the top-up courses, everything that they offer. So all you've got to do is quote COSH1, and they'll give you a bloody good quote.
Have we got a website, Chrissy?
We've got a website and an email. So if you are interested, all you've got to do is you can email info@nita.co.uk or go to the website www.nita.co.uk.
How are we spelling Nita, Chris?
N-E-T-A. Yeah, use that code COSH1 and get a bloody good discount.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, but the city's buzzing, especially the way we've been performing this season and back end of last season as well. And I think the fans deserve that, you know. Newcastle need to be back where they once were, and that's, you know, challenging.
Did it surprise you how mad it were up here?
Yeah, definitely.
You see it from afar and you think, yeah, the good fans, but...
Yeah, you've always seen them and you've always noticed that Newcastle. I played at St James loads of times against them, and you can see that it's a tough place to come. But I am definitely surprised with how passionate they are and the support as well, home and away. It's mad. Mm-hmm. It's mad.
I can't believe that in, though, the fans talking to the players. Andy Farrell up front on his microphone.
Let's fucking do it for them.
He's just improved. Even the lads that were there under the old regime, the players are just on another level, aren't they? The amount of improvement that's...
Mm. Yeah, I don't have any disrespect to Steve Bruce, because, like I say, you don't manage 1,000 games if you're not a good manager, you know. But yeah, obviously, when the new manager comes in, obviously, like, new signings always help a team. Like I mentioned Suarez before, that give us a lift. So when I signed in January, it was... obviously, it was me, then Matty Target. So it gives everyone a lift. Like I said, the players just needed that, just that belief, you know. And then we went through 13 games without losing. And that took us in a great position towards the end of the season, not fighting relegation, because, yeah, it was tough. It was tough in certain moments. But then obviously I got injured. So, yeah, that hurt me a lot when I got injured for 3 months.
Lying now.
No, we're doing well, yeah. I think it was good that the manager had a good pre-season under his belt. Obviously, we didn't do the sheep herding, but...
I can't imagine St. Maximum chasing the sheep, can you?
No, but I think that was important for the manager to stamp his, you know, his authority, how he wants to play. And yeah, we've just been attacking every game. And that's the manager's saying, you know, just empty your tanks, just give everything. Mm-hmm.
Like the signings that you've made... Were you expecting, I don't really know how to say this, but were you expecting them to go bush? We're going to pay 70, 80 million for players? No. Or were you, did you know it was going to be like a sort of gradual process?
Yeah, and that's the right way to do it. And, you know, obviously I spoke to the manager before I signed and where he wants the club to go and to help fight relegation, etc. But, you know, you look at the signings that, that we've made, you know, great characters, most importantly, for the team. That's what the manager's, you know, good like. He wants to fit the right characters for the team. He knows they're going to run. They're going to give everything. And yeah, like you see the signings are, yeah, we signed Bruno for like 40 million and Sven for 33, but, you know, we've got Pulpy for, I think it was like 12 million. You know, he's done unbelievable. Myself for the same. And they made the right signings and they're just taking it step by step. And that's the right way to do it.
Have you noticed a massive difference in the Eddie Howe at Burnley to the one that came in at Newcastle? What yeah. What's changed?
I think again, no disrespect to Eddie Howe, but it was more when I was at Burnley was winning like 4-3, 3-2 every game, was conceding a lot of goals. I think his defensive unit, the way he sets his teams up, because he came to Madrid to watch us train when I was there, when he didn't have a job at the time, for like 5 days. He was traveling around Europe at different clubs to see how different teams worked. So he's definitely changed in that sense, and just everything about him really is an unbelievable manager.
Who's best cracking that changing room at the minute?
I said Pulpy, you know. He's very sharp. No, when you come for him, like banter, he's just got something off the top of his head. He'll just hit you back straight away.
So that's not usually the case with keepers, is it?
No.
Keepers are usually keepers, like,
oh, right, yeah. Looking good one. Kicking another ball in my face.
No, so definitely Pulpy or Callum. Callum Wilson, he's got good banter as well. But no, great group of lads.
Will you have a Christmas do?
Obviously the World Cup, innit?
Oh shit, there's that fucking thing to go to, isn't there?
There's a World Cup, and then obviously after that is, I think it'll be back-to-back games until the end of the season to catch up, obviously, yeah. The games that we'll miss in November and December.
So how far away are we now? 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks off, yeah.
When do you find out?
So we find out, I think we play Chelsea on the 12th, so I think we'd find out, maybe a couple of days before, maybe.
Text?
You normally get a text if you're in the squad and stuff like that. But I think we'll find out. I don't know how long before this World Cup we'll find out. It's different every tournament, so I'm not too sure.
Yeah, though, aren't you?
No, doubt though.
Just need to keep performing.
I know. If it was 60 man squadded fucking put in, I might have had a chance myself. It's fucking done 55, isn't it?
I think every nation's done that. The one
is that what they've done.
I think it's because I don't know if players get injured or something, then you can have you still have a good selection more of players. Yeah, I think that's what season. Everyone's done.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the trips away?
Yeah, it's brilliant. No, honestly, like there is, you know, when Wayne Gareth first took charge until now, the personnel is unbelievable. You know, great chemistry between all the lads. We've been with each other now for nearly 6 years or so. So, it's a great banter, a great crap with the lads are.
Are you a cards man or basketball?
Cards, not really basketball.
Whose idea was it to get a basketball court, man?
I'm not too sure. To me. We had a basketball court at St. George's.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, it was decent. It got used every day.
Are you shooting swoops?
Yeah, I'm not the best. I give it a go. I'm not the best. But no, it was good, because obviously when you're there for such a long time, you know, you need things to keep you occupied, you know, basketball court and definitely had a little golf thing as well, simulators and all that stuff. But it was good.
Couple of tournaments. Gareth there's a change in formation depending on how you're playing, changing lineup. Is that something that he distills with everybody from the outset? Listen, we're gonna be playing to the opposition and lads are gonna be in and out.
To be fair, I think it's always important not to just have one formation, yeah. You know, so you can adapt. I think if you look at the game against Croatia in the semi-final of the World Cup, you know, you look at the first half, it could have been 3-0 up. Second half, like 50, 60 minutes, you could see, you know, Modric, Rakitic dictating the game. So, you know, I've personally think since then we could have, if we went to a 3 at back then in that game, if we went to a 4 at the back in that game, maybe we could have matched them in midfield and, you know what I mean? So it's always good to have, you know, where you can just flip into different formations. Like Italy in the Euros final, we know how dangerous they were as a 3 at the back, so we matched them to go man for man.
Yeah.
Because we know we... we could have hurt them on the attack with the pace that we've got and the quality. So it's always good to have the different formations against whoever you're playing. It's like chess now. You know, you need to, you know, exploit them and stop them from, you know, their main attributes, you know. So it's always good.
How often do you train on, you know, if you're away for the World Cup, how often do you train? Every day, twice a day?
So it would be every day, but then, because this one's, it seems shorter, this one, you don't have much time before the first game against Iran, for example. I think we'd only have a week, but normally we'd have like 3 weeks. So we'd train every day and stuff, and then obviously the lads that are playing would just do recovery the next day, because it's every like 3-4 days. So, but the other lads would get a top up, you know, the lads that probably don't play, would do training the next day and just keep getting topped up.
Mm-hmm. How does he go about keeping the lads who aren't playing happy? How does he go about that?
He's another manager where the players that are not playing, because it's almost difficult, because it's some managers or some teams don't change their 11. But he's really good at, you know, putting his arm around players, and everybody there, if you're playing or not, feel valued, and they all know, you know, they deserve to be there, and everybody's ready, most importantly, because you see the players that we've got, and the players, some the past few games, say we're on the bench, we're not playing, some big names, you know, but you know, him and Steve Holland have that great understanding and chemistry with the lads, and everybody, you know, knows the roles.
Within our episodes, we've had a lot of lads on who played at tournaments and whatnot, and we laugh and joke about what you probably call the unprofessionalism of the years gone by. So what's happening when it's lads, free day, have a chill out, do what you want?
In Russia, it was decent, to be fair, because in Russia, we was based in St. Petersburg, so you can go out there for the day, or you would have our families round to the hotel and have a barbecue. We'd have a barbecue on. So that was really good, you know, seeing your kids and stuff like that. The Euros, it was difficult because of the COVID situation, where everyone was going through. We couldn't have family, so that was tough, because we went like five and a half weeks without seeing our families. So obviously when you're on top of each other every day, it can get a bit, you know, okay, I'm seeing you again, Anna. But it was good though, you know. We have a great squad there. We have a great chemistry between players, staff. So there was a lot going on at St. George's Park to keep us entertained as well.
You know, when you're in, obviously you're 5.5 weeks, are you eating like the normal chicken and pasta every night, or does Gareth just think, fuck it, I'm going to throw a burger and chips in?
No, it's nothing like that. But to be fair, the food's really nice. Obviously, it's different every day. And the chefs do well there, for sure.
They've got some good grub there.
No, but it's good. Food's top there.
You know what I mean? Even if you like play internationally, everybody needs a bit of grease in their life, don't they? You know what I mean? Everybody likes a fucking bacon sandwich on a morning.
Oh, no, there's none of that. So it's just eggs and
I'm glad I'm not in that 55.
Fruit and stuff like that.
of the likely squad, I've got your list there.
I've seen the list.
Who would be your five that you think, from the outside looking in, would be best on a night out?
Right, I'm going Popey, Pickford, John Stones, because we can just talk about Barnsley.
Do you reckon he raves about Barnsley as much as you do?
Fucking, I bet, of course he will. Dom Calvert-Lewin, because I'd just be able to batter his clothes, because he wears some fucking outrageous
gear. He has some rascal clothes, Dom, doesn't he?
I think he'd just be sat at bar with a fedora on, talking about how the Smiths have affected modern culture. Would that be a good night out?
Yeah, that would be good. I think, yeah, Pickford definitely. Kyle Walker.
Yeah, to be fair. Kyle, I've missed you off, mate. Yeah. you can come, we'll have six.
Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
Good one.
Pulpy's got to be there. He's got a great banner.
Don't reckon Phil Foden's going in anywhere that's not got 2-for-1 WK deal. Bottle in each hand, man bag, raving on a table.
Think who else?
How good is Jude Bellingham?
Top. For such a young guy, I think he's, what, 18? He's like him and Phil. Unbelievable. He's just so mature for his age, the way he plays, the way he manages games, the way he plays his game, with no fear. He's world class now. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable player.
What's the best changing room you've been in?
I think I've got to go probably. It depends on it. I think Burnley. Yeah. I think we had a good group there. I just think because back then I was young, you know, we had a good squad there, good manager as well. You know, every time we went on a trip, he liked to drink as well, Daesh as well. So that always helped.
Have you kept in touch with him, by the way?
Yeah, I still speak to him all the time. Yeah, I still speak to him all the time. We have a good relationship. I've just got so much respect for him, for what he's done for me. We had a meeting. I forgot to mention this before. We had a meeting, first ever team meeting when he first arrived. So he set his rules up on a projector. So obviously shin pads in training. We've never had to wear shin pads, but we did with him. And he put underneath as well, no tiger, tiger on a Tuesday. So we had a good group. It was like me, David Edgar, Keith. There was a good few of us, you know, good 9-10 of us. So yeah, that got thrown out the window straight away.
What was the fine? Was it?
No, you'd get fined.
Is it worth 50 quid?
No, it was more than that. It was more than that. And, you know, it's brutal, to be honest. Every time when I'm like, we used to go like St. Andrews, like once a year, and he'd let you go out and you had to be back for like, say 10 in the evening, say. If you every minute you're late, it's 500 a minute. A few lads got stung on that. Charlie Austin's another one. He got stung a few times as well with me. It's a good few of us, like, good group, that. Really good group. Really good group. We had a good fine kitty for Christmas, anyway.
For your Christmas do.
Yeah.
Have you had moments when you've thought, you know, from where you've come from to, you know, World Cup next couple of weeks?
Yeah, because from where I come from in Bury, where, like, my parents, we, for example, grew up on, like, a council estate. I don't mean any disrespect to my parents, but we didn't have money growing up. From watching my older brother, I think he might have played against him a few times when he was at Oldham, and all the sacrifice that she had to do for him and then for me, and then just realising where I come from and leaving City many years ago, and just proud of, you know, I'm delighted with my career. I have no regrets. Just to where I am today, you know, I've managed to represent my country nearly 40 times, to play in two major tournaments, to win La Liga, you know, playing in some finals. So just proud, really, from all the obstacles that I've had to overcome. You know, for many years, you know, people writing me off, or he's not good enough, or just everything that I've had to deal with, especially later stage in my Tottenham career, then Madrid, then Newcastle, what I've had to deal with just people still thinking I'm not good enough. So for me, it's not about proving people wrong. It's just about going out there. I'm 32 now, enjoying it. That's the most important thing, and just doing as well as I can.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met and thought, fuck me, I've just met him?
I think Gerard Butler. We was away with Newcastle in Saudi Arabia, and me and Cam Wilson were just sat down at the pool and at our hotel, and he just sat there having his lunch, and we thought, is that Gerard Butler there? He's like, yeah. Well, his sound, to be fair, because obviously we was playing Scotland in the Euros as well, so we had a lot of banter, and he was a really nice guy. But I don't really get like starstruck, you know. But I'd say if I did, I'd say him.
Would remember you... when you got starstruck when you saw the Beast from the chase?
He did as well, didn't he?
By the way,
what's in his pitch?
He left a sausage. No shit, the Beast left a sausage off his breakfast.
put it in a bag and took it.
Still got it at home.
Would you go down the way? Would you go down the leagues?
100%, yeah. Like, I'm one of them.
You want
to
keep going?
Yeah, I'm one of them where, like, there's no shame in dropping down to the Championship or League One. I love football, so obviously I'll know when the time is right, but I feel like I've got a good few years at the top yet. But yeah, for me, I'll just miss the lads, the banter and stuff, but I just love football. So for me, I'll have no, there's no shame in going down to Champ or wherever, League One, or it won't bother me. I spent 5 years in the Champ, so.
Be good to be back.
Yeah, 46 games a season.
Yeah. We're back at
Student Yeovil on a Tuesday.
Tiger, tiger. Oh, hit me in.
Thanks for coming on,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, very much.
No, appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us, by the way. Yeah. We're not thanking you for having us.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
Really appreciate it.
I'm absolutely delighted. And keep doing what you're doing, because...
Do you listen to them, by the way?
All the time. Yeah, that's what I was saying to you before. Like, I watch them all. I was saying before when in the summer in Russia, honestly, I was watching them... obviously when you was in your locals and all that, and I think you weren't there one time.
In his cricket club?
Yeah.
I don't know where you were, and then I think you had his face, you had the mask on, I think you were.
Well, we were on about that Croatia goal, we were in Leeds, weren't we? doing just on the big telly, going berserk. Shit pint in there, wasn't it?
It tasted like farts and all that.
Will you be allowed any, you know, when you're over there in, at the World Cup and that, will you be allowed any time off to come and see us if we're knocking about?
Again, I don't know how strict they are with the COVID rules and all that. I think they're just discussing now whether we can see our family. I don't know if they're...
So you're not definitely going to see us.
You should see me in a pair of fucking speedos.
No one would see that.
Yeah, so I don't know what the discussion is with that at the moment. Because of COVID, I don't know how strict they are there and I'm not too sure what's going to go on.
All the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
I appreciate it's going.
I promise you, I will not batter you at all. I've battered a few over the years.
No, cheers.
So thank you very much, mate.
No problem.
Cheers, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.